Well, happy Thanksgiving. Welcome to our Thanksgiving service. In case you're not aware, or you should be aware, but a big part of our service today is going to be you sharing testimonies of what God has been doing in your life this past year. So we're going to take time for that, and that's going to be like right around the corner here. That opportunity is coming up. So be prepared to be thinking about that, be praying about that, be praying about what God might have for you to share with your church family today. We're going to have that opportunity. But before we get into that, we want to look into Scripture just for a little bit, look at a familiar passage of Scripture, and hopefully prepare our hearts for this time of sharing. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. That's where we're going to be today, Luke chapter 17. You can use your Bibles, you can use your app on a device or whatever you have. Luke chapter 17, we're going to be looking at starting at verse 11 today. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. I'm going to read this out of the New International Version from 11 to 19 of Luke chapter 17. So here we go. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So as we look into this familiar passage of Scripture, we see Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, to the place where he's going to be betrayed and crucified. And in the midst of his journey, he comes across, as he's entering into a village, these 10 lepers. And isn't that common with Jesus? We see that happen a lot. He's on a destination. He has a place to go, and things happen along the way. It's really kind of interesting because this falls, if you just page through your Bible really quickly, you're going to see all these red letters of Jesus talking, and you're going to see this account that takes place in the midst of it all. And then more red letters. Jesus is doing all this teaching, and then all of a sudden, this encounter with these 10 lepers falls in the midst of that. Well, let's look into this a little bit deeper today. And I want to look at this passage in three different aspects. We're going to look at the lepers. We're going to focus on the healing. And then we're also going to focus on the response. So first of all, let's just talk about the lepers. There are 10 men who have leprosy. So what is that? That's a highly contagious disease. It affects the skin. It affects the nerves. It affects the eyes. Leprosy actually still exists in our world today. The nice part is that it is curable with a proper medication. But 2,000 years ago, there was no cure for leprosy. So what would happen was, without a cure, is people would become blind, they'd become paralyzed, they might even lose body parts, literally from their skin deteriorating. Ultimately, to get leprosy meant you're receiving a death sentence, and your life on earth would be spent in isolation with others that had that same fate, this highly contagious disease. So what happened? They ended up living apart from everybody else. They had these camps outside the city or the villages that they were leper camps, where those with leprosy would actually live together outside the camp. That's why when Jesus, in this account, Jesus is entering into the city, so he's coming up on the city when these people cry out to him. because they're living outside the village. Not the village, it is not a city, the village. So, and that was one of the common things that lepers had to do, was if anybody came near them, they had to shout out that they have leprosy. So that people, to warn people to stay back away from them. That was part of the deal. So they're living in isolation, and they're also warning people to stay back. I was reading through this again, and I'm thinking, this has a familiar feel to it. It kind of reminds me of this pandemic we just went through. You know, where people were quarantined, or you had to tell people, like, hey, I got infected, and I was in contact with you. And you had to tell people that. Or they even had an app on your phone, and you could contact trace, so you could find out if people around you might have had the COVID. And you remember there's people who had to quarantine, and they had to isolate, sometimes even in their own homes, like, you know, a different level of the house or in their own room, and people had to bring food to them and so forth. They had to quarantine. It kind of gives us just a little glimpse into what these people with leprosy must have felt like. So there's an assumption about this, that there's this group of men, there's these 10 that's talked about in here, that all had leprosy, and there's an assumption there's a mixed group here. Because at one point, Jesus talks about one of them being a Samaritan. We don't know what the makeup of the rest of the group was, but it's because he did talk about this one in particular being a foreigner. So there's something different about this group. And I think it's really interesting that this group of lepers that's in this camp are formed out of one point of commonality. It's out of a point of we have a common disease. Not a common nationality or a common language or anything, but a common disease. As a matter of fact, what's interesting about this is these people might not have even associated with each other if they were healthy. Okay? Because that's what brought them together was a disease. So I just thought that, I found that to be interesting as I was thinking about this. I'm also thinking about as these lepers have heard, like how did they hear about Jesus? Because he says that when Jesus was entering towards the village, they called him out by name. And they called him by name, by Jesus, and they also identified him as Master, which was a word of authority saying, Jesus, you are the one who has authority. Like, so how did this happen? These people are living outside in this camp and they're hearing about Jesus. So I'm trying to imagine how this is taking place. And I can't verify this for sure, but I think this is what's going on. I'm assuming that family members of these ones who have this disease or living outside the camp, family members are going to see them. They're taking food and so forth to them, and they're probably sitting a distance away, and they're telling them the news of the day. You know, here's what's going on. And they're probably leaving food there so that then when they leave, they can come up and get the food. Because they couldn't eat. I mean, they couldn't go to market. They couldn't work because they're quarantined out here. So this would kind of be like, you know, leaving food on the doorstep during COVID. Maybe visiting someone in a prison type of thing where there's a barrier. We can't quite get to them. It's that kind of a thing. But the interesting part about this is they're getting the news of Jesus. They're hearing about him, to the point that they actually call him by name, like I said, and call him Master. And then what do they say? Have pity on us. They didn't ask to be healed. They didn't ask for anything specific. They said, have pity on us. Now, I'm pretty sure that it was obvious that what they wanted, but I believe they even get more than what they're asking for, if we hang on with me for a little bit. So one more question, one more thing I was thinking about with the 10 lepers. I was wondering, why is there 10? Did you ever wonder? I think it's because they like the metric system. No, I don't think that's it at all. I have no idea why there's 10. I don't know if that's the entire camp or if that was just the 10 of them that came up. I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's just that the math would work out easy for us when one comes back and there's 10, you know, to make it easier on us. I appreciate that if that is the case. Although I do like math. But what I think it does do is it gives us a context for the number of people, just by looking at this group, that were blessed, and only one came back to give thanks. And although I don't think the number should be just a number that we hold definitely to, I think we could probably all, if we took some time in our own life and evaluated our blessings that we have, I'd be curious to know how many blessings we actually give thanks for. My guess is it's not near all of them. It's probably some much lower number, maybe even only 10%. Just saying. Maybe that's why that number's in there. I don't know. Anyways, let's move on to the healing. So that's just the idea of the lepers and who they are. Let's move on to the healing. Verse 12 says that they stood at a distance and called out a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." That's Jesus' full response. "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. I find this very, very interesting. First of all, I think about this from a leper's perspective. Think of the faith that they had to have. Okay? Because if they didn't do what Jesus said, Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." If they didn't do that, they weren't going to be healed. That was his command, and they followed that. But even more deeply, this is what strikes me in this passage. So these people who spend their whole life away from others and being pushed away and people walking far around them, they come to Jesus, the master, the healer. They come to him and they long for him to do something. And what does Jesus do? He sends them away. What? Why would you do that? That seems weird to me. Like Jesus actually sent them away. But Jesus has something else going on here in my mind. It's as they go away that their healing comes. It says, as they are going, as they went, they were cleansed. So I believe that what Jesus was doing here was way more than just a physical healing that they were longing for. Because in the sending, in this idea where there's not only are they struggling physically, but they're also struggling emotionally and so forth. They're outcasts, and they're used to being sent away. Jesus uses that exact same thing, that rejection that they are feeling, and he uses that and says, "Go to the priest." And as they go, as they do what they do that hurts them so much to go, as they actually turn in faith and go, they are healed. Physically, and I believe way deeper than that. I believe Jesus is doing this as a way of healing their emotional scars too, so that they can fully return to a normal life, be able to work, be able to move about, be able to go back to the market and so forth. This is what Jesus does. I think it's just true for us at times too. There's times when we're looking for a specific answer or a specific healing, and Jesus does so much more. He provides answers and healing that are deeper than the questions that we're even asking or the longings that we're looking for. And I believe that's what Jesus does with these. It's interesting to me because Jesus in Luke 5 comes across a man with leprosy and he touches him. And these he sent away. Proving that Jesus doesn't just use a system. It's not like this is what you do, check this box off and you're done. Jesus, his healing is unique. And I believe in that individual leper's case that the touch was what was important. But in this one, I believe it was the going and the restoration that happens in that was important for them. But even in this whole account, what's really interesting about this account of Scripture here is the focus is not on the healing. As miraculous as that is, the focus is not there. The focus and the emphasis of this part of the Scripture is on the reaction to the healing. So let's take a look at the response. Verse 15 says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. This one, he came back, and he wasn't quiet about it, and he wasn't bashful. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. He gave public testimony to an audience of one. That's beautiful. His testimony was public, but he didn't care about anybody around him. He cared about the one whose feet he was at. It was all for God's glory. He understood the significance of his healing and the healer. I love that. And he didn't hesitate when he came back. I mean, it doesn't say it in the account, but it says, it does say this. When he saw he was healed, okay, when he saw he was healed, he went back. And it said earlier that as they went, they were cleansed. So I'm thinking that as he's going to see the priest, he didn't even get to the priest yet. He realized he's healed, and he stops, and he goes back to thank the healer. I'm assuming then he went to tell the priest, but that's what I'm seeing. He actually went back immediately when he saw that. And I believe as a result of that, he did something, got an even deeper healing. You know, there's something about when you think about even getting gifts. It's one thing to receive a gift, but it's another thing to take that full circle and go back to the giver and say thank you. There's another blessing in that that happens. It's a deeper blessing, a deeper level of gratitude that takes place. And I believe that's what we see here. Also want to notice that this one who came back was a Samaritan. He was the most unlikely to come back. Because he was a foreigner. But yet again, culture, ethnicity, other differences didn't even seem to matter. They all fade away when our priorities and our focus are in check. On Jesus. And look at Jesus' response. Jesus says in verse 17, Jesus asked, so were not 10 cleansed? You gotta love his rhetorical questions, right? I mean, he knows he cleansed all of them. Where are the other 9? No one has returned to give praise except this foreigner. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. As I look at this verse, and I look at this Jesus saying, were there not 10? Where are the other 9? What I see in this is that Jesus has an expectation that we would come to him and give thanks, that they would have come back. There's an expectation that's implied in there of giving thanks. So grace was given to all 10. And they were all healed. But only one had that special encounter with Jesus and got to receive that additional blessing from him. And that's because he took the time to come back and give praise where praise was due. And that's what we're going to do today. As a family, we're going to do that. God has blessed us this year. He has blessed this church family. He's blessed you individually, your family, in more ways than we could count or testify today and for many, many days. But we do, and we're going to make some time here just to take some time to express our praise to God for his goodness and return that thanks back to him. Public testimony to an audience of one. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have Brett and James. They're going to walk around with microphones, and then it's your time to talk, all right? Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for being the healer. Thank you for being the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, today we just want the name of Jesus Christ to be glorified. We want to give thanks and praise back to you. Let us not be one of the nine, but let us be the one who gives praise back to you. Public testimony to an audience of one. May you be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we have some guys with microphones. At this point, just raise your hand. They'll come to you, and you can share testimony of what God has done, doing, has done in your life. So who's going to be first? Jim Apple in the back. Going to be first.
Jim?
I'm coming. Run, Forrest.
Well, in May, I found out my stage 4 cancer was in remission. So I was healed from that. And then, wouldn't you know, a month later, I fell from the bed of my truck and fractured my hip and my wrist, and I had to go through rehab and basically learn to walk again. But thank God I'm healed and I'm back working full time.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jim.
Good to see you.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
So about last February, I started experiencing excruciating pain in my right leg, and I remember sitting on the bed and just crying and thinking, this hurts so much. And eventually I went to the doctor, and they did some tests and stay off it, get on a crutch. And then they did an MRI, and I came back in thinking, oh, they're going to just, and I had a torn, I can't remember what it was, but a torn something in there. And I figured they were just going to say, oh, we're just going to stitch this together. And I went in, and he said, well, you have osteochondrosis. And he said, the ball joint, and he showed me the MRI, and he said, the ball joint of your knee, the blood supply has stopped, and your bone is chipping away, and it's dying. And your next step is a knee replacement. I said, oh, okay, so like in 10 years? And he said, he kind of was vague, and he's like, well, it's different for everybody, but it's eventually going to be crippling and arthritic and just die. So I said, okay, and then he sort of sent me on my way. I thought, I think I need a second opinion. So I went, and he's like, the second doctor was like, yeah, you've got this, he said, and it's a knee replacement. And the pain at that point had gone away, and I had gone into with the Corbins into that room when Steve had a healing service, anointed with oil by the Corbins in that room. I don't know if you guys remember that service. It was sometime in the spring. So I was anointed with oil and prayed over. And then I went to the second doctor, and he's like, okay, sometimes if we put this brace on and you turn this crank, sometimes the blood flow will come back to the knee. And then, so he's like, try this for 12 weeks. And it was over the time I went to Portugal, and I would have to turn the crank every couple of days until it went from 0 to 10. And it gradually shifted the weight off of that knee, off of the ball joint. So I did all of that, and I wasn't in pain, and I remember being somewhere, and someone saying, it was towards the end of this 12 weeks, and someone saying, you're moving really well to have a brace on. I'm like, kind of am. So I went to the doctor. I made Robert go with me this time, because I was like, he's going to ask me questions, you're going to have questions, and I'm not going to know what everybody's going to say, and I'm going to forget, so you have to come with me. So we went, and I had a second MRI, and the ball joint where it had been white and dead was black and healthy, because the blood flow had come back. And the guy goes, well, the brace did the trick. Now, I think it was a little bit more than that. So that's one of many things. The Lord has been good to us this whole year, but I just wanted to share that.
Praise the Lord.
I'm grateful to God.
Thank you so much. Who's next?
Well, I'd like to thank the Lord, first of all, for my salvation. And then second, my kids are saved, thank God. But my grandkids on one side is not. And I'm very deeply hurt by that and concerned. So if you think about me, think about my grandkids. I never thought I'd be on this journey. All my life, I've had things planned out since I was a teenager, since I was in college, since I was an adult, and everything seemed to be going just smooth and fine. And then, of course, when I got into my older years, I thought, oh, this is great. Now I'm retired and I can do this and that and this and that. Well, it didn't work out that way. I was a caregiver for my mother, and now I'm a caregiver for my husband. This is a very long journey. I get frustrated. I get disappointed. I get happy at times. But this is not a road that I know what to do and what the next phase is going to be. But I thank God he's been so faithful in my life. And I know I have someone I can turn to. I thank you for this church family. I thank for my friends because I've been able to call and talk. And it's so important that we love one another and that we are concerned for one another because I've seen this at this church and I'm so blessed. I could go on for the rest of the service, but I'll stop. I was listening to this young lady behind me about the knee surgery. I too had the same experience about 3 years ago. I was told I was going to have a knee replacement. Well, God must really have a sense of humor because I said to God, okay, God, I can't handle this. Either you're going to have to heal my knee or give me the strength to go through the surgery. I went to therapy, and lo and behold, God healed it. So I do understand what you're talking about.
Amen.
So I praise God for every possible way that he's in my life. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the future holds with this caregiving. But I know who holds the future.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Everyone right beside you, Brett?
Our cousins in Texas were able to come down here to visit us instead of vice versa, so I'm just thankful that we were able to see them.
Amen. Excellent. Amen. Amen. Give the mic to the one who talks.
So he raised his hand for me, I guess. Our family's been through a lot of health issues this past year with our parents and hitting aging parents faster than we really could have imagined. And I would just like to thank the Lord for the healing for my father's, my husband's father. He's doing well. And my dad was able to have a stem cell transplant in August. And our prayer is that we can see him. He hasn't seen his children. But hopefully at Christmas, we'll be able to see him and hug him again. We may have to wear masks because he doesn't really have an immune system yet, but it looks like it is close to 100 days and he is healed. So,
amen. Thanks.
Praise God.
Thank you. Praise God.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Jesus for saving my soul.
Amen.
I want to thank him for dying on that cross for me and for others, that I can have eternal life. I want to thank the Holy Spirit for walking with me, going with me everywhere I go. When things go bad, he said, look up, I'm here. And I want to tell you one thing. We went for the Blessed program. I put it in effect Thanksgiving Day. My son said, this man doesn't have a place to go for Thanksgiving. I said, hey, well, let's call him. So he called him and asked his wife if they would want to come for Thanksgiving dinner. He said, well, he's hunting, bear hunting. He'll get back Wednesday night and get back with you. He called us 5:30 Wednesday night and said he'd be happy to come back. It was a great time. He got there at 5:30. He left at 10:30. We had other people there. My daughter was there, and my son and his wife were there. And the neatest thing about it was they left, and Friday, I said, Aoife, how'd you feel about it? Inviting Micah and his wife. Incredible. So if you were the Blessed program, do it. We went through Gallagher's Press, and it's really great. I mean, it's going to take a long time to really talk about Christ. You just can't jump and say, hey, are you going to be saved or what? It just doesn't work that way. You got a prayer, then the Holy Spirit will set it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We are great testimony. Peggy was here. I'm not sure who else.
I just want to thank the church family and my friends at church, my small group. God has just blessed me so much. I needed a place to live, and he provided a safe place. That's not only what I needed, above and beyond.
Amen.
It's really the way God works. So I want to thank everyone for their prayers. I've had a couple challenging years, but I'm grateful for the love here.
Amen. Thank you, Peggy.
Our family has experienced a lot of health issues throughout the years. since Nehemiah, our oldest, is 9, at basically like 2 weeks old, he had MRSA, and then from there it was food allergies and asthma, Abby with cancer, and then this past, the beginning of November, she was in the hospital with sepsis due to pneumonia. And I thank you so much for your prayers. She's great. She had all the antibiotics and everything. But the one thing we're most thankful for this year was we went to district conference, and they had a healing service. And I just felt the Lord like saying, bring your kids in, because they were out in a classroom having fun with other kids. So this isn't the first time that we've had the kids prayed over. We've been praying for years for their healing for food allergies. And I was, honestly, I was like, Lord, I was kind of wrestling with him. I was like, Lord, really? Like, we've been through this before. Like, is there going to be healing? Like, is it worth it? You know, like, all these doubts and everything. But I was like, whatever. You know what? Let's just do it. And so Paul ran and grabbed the kids. And a couple of our, the pastors and people we knew prayed over them. And as they were praying, I just felt like this peace, and it's so hard to explain, but it took a while to get up the courage to actually test for these allergies, because the three oldest have EpiPens, and we've had some severe allergic reactions and been to the ER and all that stuff. So just 2 weeks ago, we started with like the lower allergies that were just like hives or different things. So we tested cinnamon, and for the first time, Nehemiah could have, I put it in baked oatmeal, and he ate it, and no reaction. He drank apple cider with cinnamon for the first time, wow. No reaction.
Wow.
So he was healed from that, but not just that, he ate bell peppers, which normally, like, he has a horrible reaction. He's healed from that. He's been eating salsa out the wazoo. we tested pineapple, and we only tested it once, but it was in a little bit in like a shrimp thing, and no reaction. We tested Naomi. She couldn't have hot dogs or salami, and she ate ring bologna. No reaction. So we have an appointment with the allergist, because I'm not doing the scary allergies just yet. So we have that in January, but we are just praising the Lord. Like, even with those allergies off the list, it's amazing. It opens up the door for so many yummy things. And we're just praising the Lord. Like, it's amazing.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Ken. Run, Brett, run.
I'm praising God today for healing through doctors and science and treatments for myself. I'm very thankful for this church, the addition to John and I's family and our friends, and the shelter that he's provided this year for our children and their children and their children. So very, very grateful today.
Amen. Did you want me to mention your birthday? I could do that if you wanted. Okay, let's check in. I could mention Brett. Did Brett hit a birthday on the 23rd? 23 on the 23rd. Happy birthday, Brett. I told you I'd get it in somewhere. Where? Sorry.
I wanted to talk about spiritual healing that I've experienced this year. We all have painful experiences throughout our life, but we can probably point to one that's most significant than all the others. And I thought I had dealt with that when I went through soul care. And I realized that that significant event was feeding my fear of what God would allow to happen. And so I was unable to trust him fully. But I thought I was healed from that. But then over the course of this year, there was a circumstance in which questions and accusations were aimed at me and exposed that again, or risked exposing that. And I could only cry out to God, help me know what to do. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't function. I couldn't hear him. But at the time, I was learning Psalm 31, 7 to 8, which says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues." And I really completely experienced that. And what ended up being exposed was that I was not healed. A portion of my heart had just been numbed. And this was the healing. This was the way God showed me why the original hurt happened in the first place, so that I could experience the rich depth of his peace. If that had not happened, I would be waiting in the shallows of his peace, but instead I'm in the deep end.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. Thank you. Right back.
Well, I think most folks are thankful for healing, and I'm going to be no different. About 5.5 weeks ago, my mom had received a cancer diagnosis. Praise the Lord, it looks like they had caught it early, and she had surgery just 2 weeks ago. And last week, they got the pathology report from that, and everything was contained. The lymph nodes are clear. She doesn't have to do chemo. She doesn't have to do radiation. Just follow-up appointments for the next 5 years. So, praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have another Brett back here. And James, you're up here. Yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
Okay. This one's my choice. About a year ago, I think it was almost exactly a year ago, Dwayne was preaching, and I sat over there, and I just bawled through the service because you were preaching about Matt and what you had gone through the day that you had to give your son to God whenever he had his appendicitis, and I remember you going through that. So sitting there a year ago, we were only 6 months into this one having been diagnosed with diabetes, and I was sitting there wrestling with, like, changes. Like, we had just gotten used to using insulin and pens, and he's pretty stable, and we had just gotten used to all that, and we had an insulin pump showing up at our door in less than a month, and I was terrified of the technology going awry, and I was terrified of things happening, and how do you trust this? And so through that, you know, the Lord worked through us, and I was able to get to the point speaking through you, and I don't even know if I told you that afterwards, that, you know, I can give my son to God. We can trust the technology. And here I am bawling again. Just realizing that, you know, this is good. And I think Zach was there when his mom was there that day, and she was able to give me some comfort because Zach's brother was also a type 1 diabetic from when he was little. And so it just was like the peace I needed to get through this next year and all the changes that we went through. And I just want to praise God because he's super stable. Well, I can't say super stable. He's a growing child, and you need insulin to survive. You know, 100 years ago, he would have died at the age of 7. Now he just had his 9th birthday, and we have a really good future to look forward to. And I'm just so thankful for technology
for where we are with that, for God providing what we need. I'm also thankful for every child in my family, for Anna, Gabby, Isaiah, all of you, because this is a whole family thing. Like, it takes everybody to be strong through this, and I couldn't do it without them. And just thankful for the peace that we have for the upcoming year, because there are a lot of changes ahead, and change is hard, and change is scary. And so I just wanted to say thanks to the Lord for all that he has provided.
Amen. Thank you, Alyssa. Harry?
I was thinking this morning while I was having my devotions about the fact that we were going to have this time to share, and I went back. I didn't want to, at the time, just focus on this year, but Duane has asked us to do that, so that's what I will do. But I can go back to my birth and go up through the years and see how the Lord was working and brought me back from being a soft atheist in my my early 20s and marrying Jackie, who... through Bible study fellowship, really became a committed Christian, and so I'm grateful, as several have said, for my salvation most of all. And again, thank you, for my family, and we were blessed this year to have several opportunities to go on vacations, and we always enjoy that, and. I'm thankful for the small group that meets with us. Many of them have been with us for years and years and years, and it's a blessing to have that fellowship. And I thank you for the blessed material, and as is said, it's an opportunity to look into our own lives and see how we can be a blessing to, oftentimes it's other believers, and you want to look forward to times with an unbeliever, but you have to continue to ask the Lord for that opportunity to present itself. And I'm thankful for Emmanuel Church, as has been said. We're all sitting in the sanctuary that was renovated this year, and it was a pleasure to work with the various men. And speaking of working with men, I enjoyed that time in Georgia down at the farm, and we had times of laughter and times of fellowship around the table driving back and forth, and it was just good to learn more about one another. I encourage, whenever we have an opportunity here at church, and most recently it was with the 180 group, even if it's a small way of serving, you do meet other people here in the church. You do meet perhaps the people that we are serving, and that just enhances your desire to do it some more. So I just wanted to share that that I think we are blessed as a congregation, and I certainly don't know what the Lord has in mind for the near future, but we know what the future is going to be like, and it's something to look forward to.
Amen. And Harry, we're thankful you learned how to text. So that was awesome.
An airdrop.
Yeah. One more. Oh, wait. You got two more. I saw one back there. Yeah. Okay, so we'll do two. Okay. Go ahead, Zach.
So I'd like to share a quick story here. Before I moved here in January, one of the things that I was really praying about, Kendra and I were about to get married in June, and I was moving from Massachusetts, which, for any of you that are from Massachusetts or have ever been there, it's a very dark place and a very hard place to live as a Christian. And I lived there for 4 years by myself. And so one of the things that I was really praying for before I moved here was that God would provide us some young married couples that we could do life with. And as you're probably well aware, it's young couples, it's college students that are leaving the church in this day and age. And God has really blessed us with the young couples that are in this church through small group and through friendships and doing double dates and those kinds of things. And so when I think about my time in Massachusetts, I had the ability to share my faith with a couple of my neighbors. And while none of them accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it taught me a lot about what it looks like to share my faith with people. And so as I've been talking with other people and how do we get people to the next step, it's one thing to share the gospel, and it's important that you are watering and you're feeding your plants and you're, we talk about harvesters and what harvesters and gardeners. And so there's a period of harvesting and there's a period of gardening. And I've been in a period of harvesting, I've been in a period of harvesting for several years, but never seen the fruit of that. And so as I've talked to people about what does it look like to take that next step, the one thing that's kept coming up over and over and over again is they'll know that we're Christians by our love for each other. And through that, through being able to talk about the young couples that we've gotten to hang out with in the church that have poured into us and that we've gotten to pour into and just do life with, a friend of mine in college, his name's Colton, he's not a Christian. I don't believe that he's a Christian. Him and his wife got married a couple years ago, and he's kind of rough around the edges, not the kind of guy I would have expected to be good friends with, but over the years, we've gotten to be really good friends. And a couple months ago, his work brought him to Baltimore. So Kendra and I were able to get together with them. And for the first time, I was really able to just lay out all the things that I was feeling. That, man, your wife needs a leader. Your wife wants to be in Scripture but doesn't know how. And was able to, he knew because of the relationship we've had. And by me being able to say, look, this is what we're experiencing in church through our small group. You could have that too. We got to have a really deep conversation. I was crying as I'm talking to him in the back of this big van that he was driving for work and just sharing everything that we're experiencing. And you could have that too by getting to be part of the church and just share more of my faith with him. And he's been around the church, but I don't think he's ever really accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And so I'm just thankful for that opportunity. I'm really thankful for all the young couples in this church that we've gotten to know and do life with. So,
amen. Thank you, Zach. Last one, Drew.
So January last year, I had to come to the honest conclusion that I was losing my eyesight, at least in one eye, physically. I couldn't see. You would have been very blurry. And finally, I had to come to the point where I admit this is a problem, I got to get it fixed. I got bifocals, they didn't work. Eventually, I did get surgery, and that was fixed. Now I can see you, you're less blurred. I don't see 20/20, but I can see just fine. At the same time, spiritually, I was going through this kind of weird space where I'm starting to, I had these questions that I couldn't answer. And I know there's stuff I'm never going to answer here on this earth, but I had questions, and it was damaging my relationship with the Lord. And finally, he started to show me things that I could see. You know, the Lord does that. Somebody asks him a question, and he comes back, and he asks a greater question. Well, what about that? And it just hit me, even just this morning. Once again, I had one of those simple questions. How about this? And Jesus came back, well, how about that? Oh. I don't see 20/20, but I can see just fine. Praise God.
Amen. I have a feeling we could go on with this all day, but we are committed to getting our service out of here at a decent time today. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and I'm going to ask Brett if he would just kind of seal this time of testimony just in a prayer of time, and then we're going to sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness, back to our God together. So Brett, go ahead.
Yeah, Father, I thank you that you are good. That you are a good father who loves his children, that every good and perfect thing is from you. God, I thank you for these testimonies of healing, of comfort in hard times, of provision, of your voice, of your truth breaking through. Lord, I thank you for everything you have done, all the stories that were shared and the countless stories that we couldn't share today of your faithfulness to us. Lord, I thank you that you are good. And Father, would you stir up in this body a greater thankfulness for who you are and what you've done. Lord, in each of our hearts, spring up this spirit of thankfulness for you. God, I pray that you would seal everything that was spoken today, Lord, that these truths and these stories of your faithfulness and goodness and healing and power would stick in our minds and grow our faith day after day. Lord, would you give us more faith that you can do the impossible, that you are a good father who loves his children. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. God, I thank you for this church where we get to just celebrate you week after week and throughout our weeks. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.